good example for others to follow. How well have we been doing in setting good examples for others to follow in regards to our need to go out to share the truth with people? Now, this morning, my subject is following Jesus. Following Jesus. Think it over. Yes, the question is, following Jesus, think it over. Now, when we go shopping, very often we have this salesman in the shopping centers trying to sell us something, and a demonstration could be given, and then the salesperson might be giving a sales speech. Then after hearing the sales speech, which is of course to entice us to buy the product that they are selling, we might just look at the person, smile at the person, and just tell the person, thinking, when we say, let me think it over. The real thinking is this: actually, we have no desire to buy that thing. Yes, perhaps we have thought of something better. Perhaps when we look at the thing, we think that it's not value for money. And so we say, let me think it over. I mean, it's just a polite way of saying, no, I'm not interested in what you're selling. Or sometimes in the company, we might be offered a job, a promotion. But we really don't like the job because the job is tough. And the job requires us to make sacrifices. The job requires to travel or to relocate to a third world country. And then we dare not tell the boss no right away, because we do not want the boss to think badly of us. And so we tell the boss, let me think it over. And then a few days after that, we go back to the boss, and then we give all kinds of excuses as to why we cannot accept the offer of promotion. We say, oh, my children cannot take the relocation, too hard on them, they're just too young, and this move will be very dislocating to my family. But the real truth is, you are not interested in the job. That's the real truth. But you don't dare to tell the boss that you are not interested. Now, in the passage that we have just read, we actually read of three persons. The first person was invited to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other two, all right, the third one, not very clear, but the second one definitely was asked by the Lord to follow him. And perhaps the third one was also asked by the Lord to follow him. And they sort of give the same kind of answer. Let me think it over. Let me think it over. Right? Or at least the second two gave the excuses or gave the answer of let me think it over. Now let's look at the first person who wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Luke chapter 9 verse 57, you see that he wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether the Lord asked him or not, we do not know, but 57 says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Here was one who perhaps expressed his desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ without much thinking. He didn't count the cost. Yes, he didn't realize that it involved the bearing of the cross. He didn't realize that he had to deny self. He didn't realize that he had to surrender his right to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to make sure that he was counting the cost before he decided to follow the Lord. And so the Lord said this to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have the nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, I don't even have a bed of my own to place my head on. Do you want to follow me? I think the answer is quite obvious. This man was really not quite ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So he didn't even start following the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps. Then you look at verse 59. The Lord challenged another person to follow him. Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But this man probably had already done this let me think it over exercise in his mind. So he needed not to tell the Lord, let me think it over. He already had his excuses. Yes, and so he said this to the Lord, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Allow me to go and bury my father. The Lord had this to say to him in verse 60. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now it was not as if his father was on the verge of death. He was dying and that he had just to go home, bury the father, and then he could follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The father was maybe very much alive still, and he was going home to live with the father, or wait for the day the father dies, and then wait for the day the father died, and then bury the father, and then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that was the case. But the Lord Jesus Christ said this to him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Let the spiritually dead bury the naturally dead. The spiritually dead will be referring to those who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not true believers in God. Let the spiritually dead bury the naturally dead. Let your loved ones who are not believers in the one true living God do their social obligation of burying your father. But you know better. They do not know, but you know better. Yes, you know the truth, you know better. And you know that the number one thing for you is to follow me. Yes, let the unbelievers bury the naturally dead. All right, let the unbelievers bury your father. Yes, but you are spiritually alive. You know what is right to do. You know what's important to do. And that is to follow me. Now, I'm not sure this man finally followed the Lord. Yes, because his answer was the let me thinking over kind of answer. Now, let's consider in greater detail the third person, the Lord Jesus Christ addressed. I want to talk more about this person. Now, this man's reply to the Lord's invitation to follow him was this. Look at verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Now, let us understand that the kind of farewell that this man was making was not a quick farewell. It was not a case of he's already made up his mind to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and that he was just going home to set his house in order and then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my dear friends, that was not the case. Some commentators believe that this man was going home to consult his loved ones, his friends and relatives and so on, so forth, before he made his decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this kind of answer that this man gave to the Lord Jesus Christ is really the let me think it over kind of answer. In fact, as I said already, he was saying, Lord, let me go home, consult with my folks, consult with my loved ones, my relatives, my friends, and then I'll come and follow you. Now, this morning, I'd like us to see how defective the choice-making process of this person was. His choice-making was defective. Now, let us see how defective it was. I'd like us to look at the A, the B, and the C of his choice-making. All right, first, he made a choice with spiritual apathy, which means with no spiritual interest, with spiritual apathy. And number two, he made a choice on the wrong basis. That's number two, letter B, basis. Then he made a choice based on the commands of his friends and relatives, the letter C. Now let's consider the letter A. He made his choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but with spiritual apathy. In other words, no spiritual interest at all. Look at verse 61 again. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. Now, maybe he had some interest, alright? Maybe not completely no interest, but he had some interest to follow the Lord. But following the Lord Jesus Christ was not his topmost priority. So, he had this kind of thinking, let me think it over. Let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. My dear friends, today the challenge for us is this. The Lord Jesus Christ says to all of us, follow me. He says, follow me. Are we going to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you, or are we going to say, Lord, let me think it over, and then subsequently fill our minds with all kinds of excuses as to why we shouldn't be following the Lord? Yes. Now let's think of some excuses some people might give for not following the Lord. Now young people might say, follow Jesus, but I am really too young to make any kind of a wise decision. This may not be the path I want to take for the rest of my life. Perhaps when I'm older, I'll make the decision. Now, others might say, wait till I finish my studies, wait till I have a job, wait till I'm completely independent, then I will make my choice. Then I will be able to make a wise decision at that time. Now, one day, I was talking to this young man. I was then young also. I was talking to this young man. We were participating in a gospel meeting it was. And it was after the gospel meeting, and I was supposed to be one of the counselors. Then I was supposed to counsel this young man. As I said, I was young also at that time. And he was not wanting to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I asked him this question, why don't you want to believe? Why don't you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Now this young fellow was very honest. He said this to me, I don't want the world to pass me by. That's what he said to me, exact words. I don't want the world to pass me by. I still remember those words very clearly in my mind. In other words, what he's saying is this, what he was saying was this, I want to enjoy what I can enjoy while I can enjoy. That was what he was telling me. Yes. Now, then there are others who they don't want to follow the Lord. And so young men didn't want to follow the Lord. Perhaps there are some people who don't want to follow the Lord because they say, I want to enjoy what I want to enjoy, what I can enjoy. Then others might say, I cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if I were to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will be limiting my choice of a life partner. Because I must marry someone who is also following the Lord Jesus Christ. So I will limiting my pool of people suitable of someone suitable for me. Yes. So then what about the sick? Now the sick will pledge, some sick people will pledge that they will follow the Lord when they get well. Follow the Lord when they get well. They say, right now, I'm just too sick to make a very wise decision to follow Jesus Christ. When he heals me, all right, then I will follow him. I will follow him wholeheartedly at that time. But when they recover from their sickness, they completely forget about their pledge of following the Lord Jesus Christ when they get well. They make it sound as if it is not possible for them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as of the time when they were sick. Yes, but friends, we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ anytime, whether we are sick, whether we are not sick. My dear friends, we are in a position to follow him. So there is always an excuse. I say that there is always an excuse for not following him or not following him wholeheartedly. Now you take, for example, I've said this many, many times, or I am saying it again. I can't go to the prayer meeting. Why can't I go to the prayer meeting? Because I had this appointment, I've got that appointment, or I can't go to the prayer meeting because by the time Friday afternoon comes around, I'm dead tired, dead beaten, I need a rest. So I can't make it to the prayer meeting. Or I can't participate in this Bible study. Because I have this appointment, I have that appointment, and so forth. Then I can't do my quiet time because I'm so busy. I have no time for my quiet time. So I don't do my quiet time. My dear friends, let us realize that having spiritual apathy, having no spiritual interest right now is actually foolishness. Now you take the case of people who do not give top priority to following the Lord Jesus Christ and think that they can postpone this choice and to a later stage in their life. Now, how sure are they that they will be able to live another day to make that important decision to follow the Lord? How sure are they that they are able to live another day and on that day make the decision to follow the Lord? How sure are they? I remember some many years ago in the Sydney here, visiting a young boy, 16 years old, I still remember, 16 years old, and he was from that famous Jianzhu school. I visited him, and this young boy was actually stricken with an ailment that would normally afflict people who are very much older. He suffered a stroke at the age of 16, a stroke, and his arm, one of his arms was partially paralyzed, and his two legs were paralyzed. And when my wife and I visited him, we saw that he was frantically trying to exercise the arm that was weakened by the stroke. And then he was trying very, very hard to recover his strength. My dear friends, could that young man not have died from that stroke? He could have. And if he had died, yes, when he got a stroke, then the question of following the Lord Jesus Christ would be completely non-issue at all, because yes, he would have no opportunity at all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You young people, let me ask you this question. How sure are you that you will be able to live another day to make the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? How sure are you? My dear friends, we can't be sure. So while you have your youthful strength, right now, make the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait for another day and say that I wait another day and then I'll make the decision. But right now, with your youthful strength, make this decision. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while that boy that I gave the gospel to that day did profess to come to believe the Lord, but I'm not sure whether his decision was real or not, because subsequently I tried to contact him, but he didn't want to see me. Then for all of us who are not, all of us, I'm not just talking to the young now, but for all of us, how sure are we that we will not be killed in an accident or be killed by something that happens to us very, very unexpectedly? You are sure that nothing will happen to us unexpectedly? You can't be sure. I also remember this person who was interviewed on television years ago by this interviewer, and he was giving an account about himself. Now, this man was a diabetic. One day while he was driving his car, he was stricken with this diabetic coma, something that can happen to diabetics who are very, very low in sugar. So he had this, he lapsed into a coma, and so he pulled his car by the road, but the car went onto the grass curb. But he didn't do one thing. He didn't turn on off his car engine. So the car engine, the exhaust pipe became very, very hot, to the extent that the grass below the car lit up. And very soon, the whole car was engulfed in flames. But thankfully, the car was just only about 500 meters away from the fire station. The fire was put out, but by the time he was rescued, he had already suffered something like 60% burn to his body. Could he not have died? Of course he could have died. Did he expect such a thing to happen to him? No, of course not. You see, so many things can happen to us without our expecting them to happen. So don't assume that we will not be overtaken by death suddenly. We can be, alright? So let us understand this truth that our life is very, very uncertain. And let us therefore not postpone any decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be wise. Listen to what the writer of the book of James says. He says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Only if the Lord wills. And what does the Lord will for us to do? What do you think is his will for us? Of course his will for us is to follow him. So let's not say, let me think it over. No, my dear friends, stop this thinking over. Stop having this mentality of thinking it over. Make the decision. And if you are not a believer yet, understand this truth. Today is the day of salvation. Don't postpone your decision, because you may not be able to live another day to make that decision. If you want to wait for another day, it might just be too late for you, because that something unexpected can happen to you. And where will you be heading, my dear friends, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Of course you will be heading to that place that you do not want to go at all. Eternal hell, eternal torment. Next, I'd like us to consider the letter B. And let us see that the man who was asked to follow the Lord Jesus Christ made a choice, but he made his decision on the wrong basis, the letter B. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. He said, I will follow thee. Yes, I will follow thee. Yes. Now here he was actually making use of his own strength to follow the Lord. He said, I will follow thee. He did not call upon the Lord to enable him to follow him. No, he said, I will follow thee. Now the choice sounded right, but the choice-making process was defective, because, as I said, he was depending on his own strength to follow the Lord and to make his choice work. Of course, he could never make the choice work if he was using his own strength. Now, it is easy for us to say, Lord, I will follow you. But we can be sure that if we depend on our own strength to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a very, very strong likelihood that we will fail. Yes, we will fail, and we will not follow him as we desire to follow him. Now you remember the very, very clear case of Peter. Remember, Peter appeared very, very resolute in wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 29, But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, even all this, my fellow disciples were to be offended, even if they were to stumble, yet will I not. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. 31. But he spake the more vehemently. Peter said the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee anyways. Likewise also say they all. In other words, the rest of the disciples said the same thing. We will follow you, Lord. I will follow you. Peter was very, very cocksure. He was depending on his own strength to follow the Lord. Lord, I will not deny you. Lord, I will not be offended. Lord, I will follow you. But he failed miserably. We all know that. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in a parallel passage in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we read, And the Lord said unto Simon, to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now, from these two readings, it's very, very clear that Peter there was no way that Peter was going to follow the Lord successfully based on his own strength. The Lord said to him, Satan hath desired, oh Peter, Satan hath desired to shake you, to try you, so that you will be as wheat, you will be sieved as wheat is sieved. But Lord, the Lord said, I prayed for you that your faith fails not. The Lord had to pray for Peter so that his faith will be sustained, so that he would not fail. Now it's clear, Peter could never follow the Lord Jesus Christ on his own steam. He had to depend on the Lord. He had to depend on the prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to enable him to follow him, to follow the Lord. Thank God today we know that if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can depend on the prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to sustain our walk in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus Christ today is interceding for us, praying for us at the right hand of God. But Peter, that day thought that he could follow the Lord Jesus Christ based on his own strength. In the later part of his years, he was very, very much humbled. And this was what he said in his later years. If you would turn to me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now this time, yes, his position is different. He did not say, I will follow the Lord. Yes, I will follow the Lord till the end. No, this time he did not say that. Okay, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Peter says this, he says, who are kept, now the who here would include Peter himself. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It is no longer, I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he's not saying that. But he says here, I am kept by the power of God. You see, he was totally depending on the strength of the one true living God to follow the Lord. Now, if we want to follow the Lord, we must call upon the Lord to give us the strength to follow him. There's no other way. All right? If you try to depend on your strength to follow the Lord, you are going to fail. We must call upon the Lord to enable us to follow him. Yes? Let's learn from this man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver his son of a demon possession. He came to the Lord. He said, Lord, deliver my son out of demon possession. But I'm filled with unbelief. Lord, help me to believe. Essentially, that was what he was saying. I read for you in Mark chapter 9 concerning this man. All right, now Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to verse 24. Now, please listen. He said this, and oftentimes he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said to the Lord, and oftentimes the evil spirit hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He said, Lord, help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But he did not just say that. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. In other words, he was praying to the Lord, Lord, please help me overcome my unbelief. And that's the same kind of prayer we must pray in regards to following the Lord. Lord, give me strength to overcome my inability to follow you. You see, that's the prayer that we must pray. Help me overcome my inability to follow you. Now the Lord has told us very, very clearly that without him we can do nothing. We must count on him, depend on him for strength. He says in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So it is so vitally important that we depend on the strength of the Lord to follow him. Now let's consider the next letter, the letter C. Yes. Now I'd like us to see how defective his choice making was, because his choice was based on the comments, opinions, and perhaps the influence of his friends or relatives. Now I've come to this conclusion because I've referred to a few commentaries, and some commentators are inclined to believe that he actually went home to consult with his friends, his relatives, and his loved ones. Yes. So his decision could be made based on the comments, opinions, and the influence of his loved ones, of his folks in his home. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. Now, it was not a case of his being very, very resolute already to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said, and that he was going home merely to say a very, very quick farewell to his folks, and then he was leaving to follow the Lord Jesus. Now, his choice was very, very much unlike that of Elisha. Remember Elisha? When Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha to pass the office of being a prophet to Elisha, what did Elisha do? Elisha very quickly made up his mind. Yes, he was very, very resolute in taking over that office. All right, it's interesting if we turn to read, if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. You see, he was very resolute. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. And so, he departed. He here refers to Elijah. Alright, the senior prophet, Elijah. He departed hence and found Elijah. Elijah was the young man, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, cast his robe or cast his cloak upon him, which symbolized the office of being a prophet from him to Elisha. And verse 20. And he left the oxen. And what did he do? He ran after Elijah. You see how resolute he was. He ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee." And now this one was not just going home and then discuss with his folks and so forth. Kiss his father and mother. This was for real. Alright, he was just going home to make a quick farewell. And then he was going to follow Elijah. And Elijah said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" He said, "Go back. Go to back your folks and realize this. It is not I who call you, but it is the Lord, the one true living God, who has called you." But this man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus, whom the Lord Jesus Christ asked to follow him, was different. He said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house." Now, as I said, his intention was to confer and to consult with his family members, relatives, and so forth before he made his decision to follow the Lord. Perhaps he had already made his decision not to follow the Lord, and what he wanted was some kind of confirmation from his folks, and that was what he was looking for. Yes? And so, he was not going to follow the Lord. Now you consider the case of the great apostle Paul. When he was called to follow the Lord to preach the gospel, this was his response. Alright, this is in Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 to 17. You look at his response. I'd like us to turn to Galatians 1, 15 to 17. Okay? Galatians 1, 15 to 17. Paul says this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace," "to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." He said, "I did not discuss this matter with flesh and blood. The Lord called me, I didn't discuss with anybody in regards to my decision. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." I did not go to Jerusalem to talk to Peter, I didn't go up there to talk to John, I didn't go and talk to Thomas, Bartholomew, and so forth. No, I didn't. "But I went into Arabia and again, I returned again into Damascus." Straight away, Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Straight away, he preached the gospel. Yes, he was resolute in following the Lord. Now, years ago, when I was confronted with this question of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank the Lord that the Lord gave me the grace to make the decision right away to follow him. I didn't confer with anybody. I didn't go discuss with my non-Christian friends as to whether or not I should become a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, if I did, I'm sure this is the kind of counsel they were going to give me. "What? Believe in Jesus Christ? You must be mad. You must be crazy, right? You'll be giving up all your fun. You'll be giving up all your partying and so forth." Yes, then you had better be very careful. You know, if you become a Christian, yes, what you are really believing in is may not be true. But what is true is the real, the here and now. Yes, so enjoy what you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And then again, you be very careful. If you are not careful, yes, you might just become a missionary or become a pastor. I mean, maybe that would be the kind of counsel they would give to me. But thank God, he gave me the grace so that I was quite resolute in following the Lord Jesus Christ, and I made the decision to follow him. Then there are some unbelieving parents. Now I'm talking about parents now. Unbelieving parents who understand that Christians cannot be unequally yoked with non-Christians. And so their counsel to their children would be this: if their children came and asked them whether or not they could become believers in Jesus Christ, they would tell them, you better not, because if you did that, then you have no choice but to marry a Christian. Then you have no chance to widen your circle of choice, right? So you see how if a person is not resolute and then he goes around conferring with people, he can easily be persuaded not to follow the Lord. Then in those days, before I became a Christian, now if I was confronted with, when I was confronted with this question to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to discuss this matter with my father, I think I'll be a goner. Because my father would be so mad with me, he would just tell me, if you ever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to kick you out of my house. Yes. And I said my father would do that. But I, by the grace of God, I just made up my mind to follow the Lord. And I did. Thankfully, I did. My dear friends, we must treat this question of following him as a matter of life and death. Let us be very, very resolute in following the Lord, regardless of what people say, regardless of what kind of advice people give. But pay attention to what the Lord Jesus says. Verse 62, this is what the Lord says, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, Luke chapter 9, 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now when a farmer plows, he doesn't look back. If he does, what is going to happen to his plowing? He will not be able to plow straight. No, that's not how a farmer plows. Yes, he doesn't look in the opposite direction. When he puts his hand on the plow, he just plows. He just goes ahead. The Lord says that if you have put your hand on the plow, if you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord says. I read about this missionary couple, John and Betty Stack, before they were married. They were resolute in following Jesus, as he had heard the call to serve God in China as a Christian. This was the 1970s. But she was not going to go back from the call to go to China to marry John. John was still in Bible school, but was not sure where the Lord was going. He was not sure whether he should go to church. Very much in love, okay? Not married yet, very much in love. But as far as he was concerned, the Lord is first. The Lord must be first. Very, very first. So they did not commit themselves to one another.
Putting our hands on the floor.
cloud or not. Looking at that, that's how it went. And he said, what kind of a thought? If we had decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, put our hands on the cloud, then continue to put our hands on the cloud, and continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop us from following Jesus Christ. Now the Lord invites us to follow Him. What is your response to this? Are you going to say to Him, Lord, let me think it over? You and I know what He meant by saying, let me think it over. It means, oh Lord, I'm not interested to serve You right now. Maybe another day. Another day, I'll make my decision to serve You. What it means is this. Yes, maybe I won't be serving You at all. And friends, let's understand it. This another day may not come. You see, the unexpected can happen to us. Let's understand. Life is even as a vapor, it appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Then, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, today, why do you make the decision to come and trust Him? Yes, God has His will for you to come and believe in Him. Don't wait for another day, because that another day may never come for you. Then, let us, when we decide to follow the Lord, do so with His help and with His strength. Like that man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask the Lord to deliver his son out of demon possession, he asked the Lord to give him the strength to overcome his belief. Likewise, my dear friends, we must ask the Lord to give us the strength to enable us to overcome the inability to follow Him. Finally, let us be very, very resolute and follow Him. Let no counsel or advice or persuasion from anybody to dissuade us from following Him. And if we have put our hands on the plow, let us be very, very resolute. Ask the Lord for strength to enable us to follow Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have called us and You have given us salvation. And today we know that Your challenge for us is for us to follow You. Lord, we pray that we may not give any kind of excuse at all, but that we may be very resolute in following You. And Father, we pray that as we make the decision to follow You, we may count on Your strength to enable us to follow You. For we realize that without You, we can do nothing at all. And Father, we pray that all of us who have trusted in You and who have professed to have put our hands on the plow, we pray that we may never look back. For You have told us very, very clearly that if we put our hands on the plow and we do look back, it might mean that we are not looking for the kingdom of God. Father, we will be very gracious. We pray for those who are still not practicing. That today they might hear Your call, they might respond to Your call, and realize that it is timely for them to come to You, because the unexpected has happened to them, and their opportunity to come to You is good for them. Father, we pray that You be very gracious to us, to follow You, to follow Father.